Welcome to the podcast ministry of Grace Anglican Church in Grove City, Pennsylvania. It is our hope to proclaim the historic faith and the dazzling grace of Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, please check out our website at graceanglicanonline.com.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, blessed and praised forever. Amen. The first verse of the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. As I begin this evening on this most solemn night, I would be remiss not to say how glad I am to be with all of you on this Maundy Thursday, this night of the new commandment. I would be remiss to not share with you what I hope is a word of encouragement, that it's that I pray for you often, and I pray for your witness in the world. When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end. T.S. Eliot, a 20th century poet, in his four quartets, and the fourth quartet, the last quartet, which he entitled Little Gidding, he wrote these words: "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." Maundy Thursday is an arriving at a place where we started. It's the opportunity to know the place, to see the place for the first time. The center of my reflection and our reflection tonight is about this end of our exploration and knowing that place for the first time, to see with our eyes opened, to see what is actually happening here and happening for us. Jesus loves us to the end. That's the takeaway from tonight. It's an amazing thing that he does. He actually focuses on us. And he washes the disciples' feet. He feeds us. His concern is for us. Look at the foot washing dialogue between Jesus and Peter. Peter says, "No, let me wash your feet." And Jesus says, No. "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part in me." He's come to wash our feet, even when we get it wrong. Friends, that's a part of the meaning of grace. And look, if you will, at the communion instruction. "This is my body." What? "Given for you. This is my blood of the new covenant." Who's the covenant for? You see, he makes this night all about us, even when we sense it should be about him. And tomorrow will come soon enough, but tonight will get us through tomorrow. Maundy Thursday, and the love that Jesus pours out for the likes of us will carry us through the terror of Good Friday. Friends, the gift from him is first, and then comes the commandment. We call this Maundy Thursday from the Latin mandatum novum, which, of course, the English love to corrupt words. They love to corrupt French words. They love to corrupt Latin words, you know, Renaissance and things like that. Well, they love to corrupt Latin as well. So mandare becomes mondi. It's a commandment. It's a new commandment that you do this for one another and that you love others as I have loved you. It's an amazing night. And it's only after we've received his love that he gives us this commandment. Again, he washes our feet, then commands. He gives his body and blood, then he commands, do this in remembrance of me. This is an extraordinary night. And of course, the Old Testament, the choice of readings always point to the new. And so we hear from Exodus the story of God's Passover. His people, not because they deserve it, but because he chose them. And in Psalm 78, even though they betrayed him, he gives them the bread of angels. How extraordinary is this night. Now, back to Eliot's poem. Eliot wrote the four quartets at a very dark time. The first quartet was actually written in 1936. The other three were all written during or just after the Battle of Britain, after the terrible bombing, in many ways so completely symbolized by that November 14th, 15th bombing of the city of Coventry. Eliot knew it well. He writes the poem in this very dark time during the Battle of Britain. Interestingly, this fourth quartet, he names Little Gidding. Again, he's looking back to other dark times. Little Gidding was a community founded by a former MP, Member of Parliament, Nicholas Farrar, who fled London in the Commonwealth and took a little prayer book community up to the north where they'd pray the daily office and live in community until the Commonwealth destroyed the community. So he names the poem Little Gidding. And more than that, in the very last verses of the poem, he's not only reminding us of this other dark time, but still a third dark time. And that's of the Black Death at the end of the 14th century. The verses which are fifth and fourth from the end of the four quartets are these. And all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. They are actually words from an anchoress, from Julian of Norwich. She was near death. She'd received the last rites on May the 8th in the year 1373. She was dying, and the pastor actually, as all of her feeling failed, and she describes it so thoroughly in the record of what happened that day and in the days and years following, the pastor held the cross before her eyes as even her sight failed. Think, if you will, of Henry Francis Light in 1847 in his hymn, Abide With Me, Hold Thou Thy Cross, before my closing eyes, Light was on his deathbed too, a Church of England curate. But he saw that this was the sign of God's love, and in it was all his hope. What happened for Julian is that as her sight failed, she received a series of what she called revelations, of visions, 15 of them. And then she slept a bit, and on the next day received a 16th. And after 15 years of pondering what the visions meant, they were visions, actually, of Jesus and his crucifixion. After 15 years of pondering what these visions meant, a scribe recorded at her dictation these words: "From the time of the showing, I desired frequently to understand what our Lord's meaning was. And more than 15 years afterward, I was answered by a spiritual understanding that said, 'Do you want to understand your Lord's meaning in this experience? Understand it well. Love was his meaning. Who showed it to you? Love. What did he show you? Love. Why did he show it? For love. Hold yourself in this truth, and you shall understand and know more in the same vein. And you will never know or understand anything else in it forever.' Thus was I taught that love is our Lord's meaning. And I saw most certainly in this and in everything that before God made us, he loved us. And this love never slackened and never shall. In this love, he has done all his works. In this love, he has made all things profitable for us. And in this love, our life is everlasting. In our creation, we had a beginning. But the love by which he made us was in him from without beginning. And in this love, we have our beginning. And all this we shall see in God without end." Jesus' total love for us, this night and the morrow, Good Friday, preceded by Maundy Thursday. We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. And all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Amen.